you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, June 7th, 2019, pre-Ivan Parker concert. You can still get reserved seating up close, front and center. Meet and greet with Ivan at 6 p.m. And it's going to be a great concert tomorrow night, beginning at 7 p.m. The meet and greet is at 6, and for general open seating with a free will offering, we'll allow you to get in at 6:30. You can find out more at our website, greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. But we're excited as the singing men of GNN, along with Josh Parker, and then Ivan Parker will be putting on a God-honoring concert tomorrow night, 7 p.m., the First United Methodist Church of Urbana, right on Ray Street, right next door to the Great News Radio Center, housed here at Lincoln Square. So lots of great parking. I hope you'll come out, invite a friend, family members, and enjoy a worshipful Saturday night with us. And funny thing just happened is Jason and I got ready for our broadcast this morning. We always pray up the program. We prayed up, got on a tangent discussion, talked about a few different things, and then I said, hey, did we pray up the program yet? He said, yes, you did. I'm like, oh, okay. It's kind of been a high octane week. We have a board meeting coming up at 1 o'clock today to pray about directions with this radio ministry, where God's leading, and different things to cover and pray through. And I don't know, it's been a full week, a great week, exciting time. And then with the president's speech and President Trump being in Europe and D-Day and different celebrations, mm-hmm. and just being mindful of our veterans. And I don't know, Holly's so excited, just the patriotism that's in her. Mm. I've been singing one of the songs that the singing men are going to sing, and we sang this up in Oakbrook. It's a montage, but part of it is Yankee Doodle went to London. And so I've been singing that around the home, and she loves that. So it's just been classic, but it's a very wonderful time to be alive in this country because of our veterans, how they've served us, and the freedoms that we get to enjoy and gather. And I was telling you at our English conversation class yesterday, it was the first time we are doing a Bible study for the summer session. We took a break from the regular curriculum, if you will, that has been developed. And I think 30-something members signed up for learning English through the Bible. Mm. And so Dave Crabiel is putting these lessons together. And so I was telling you, we were talking about Luke chapter 22 and such. It's the Last Supper, and it's kind of the last few days of the Lord Jesus Christ's presence here on the earth at that time, before his suffering and the crucifixion and such. And so one of the women asked, well, if he knew he was going to suffer, and he's telling his disciples this, why did he go through with it? And I'm like, oh, that's very good question. I said, yeah, he willingly went through this knowing what was going to happen, knowing that he was going to sacrifice himself. And so anyways, it was a very exciting discussion as they're being introduced to the Bible, to Christianity, and to all these words as they want to learn more. And I asked them, what are their expectations for the class? And some are obviously to improve English, but many had said, well, they want to know the Bible more. They know what's a special book. One girl said, I want to learn about controlling my anger and other things. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. She really is looking at maybe the Bible giving her a source of strength. And somebody else said, you know, wisdom. We know the book is filled with lots of wisdom. And I talked about, anyway, so excited about that and other things going on. So.
Yeah.
Yeehaw. Appreciate prayers and how God continues to use this radio ministry in so many variety of ways. So, what's the Lord been teaching you lately?
Well, I was wondering if you heard the news on Sunday, if you were paying attention or saw what happened on Sunday. Did you pay attention
Sunday.
At all?
Yeah,
there was some news on Sunday that trumped all the other news on Sunday.
This past Sunday.
Come on now, I just gave you the clue.
Trump, something that Trump did on Sunday. Well, I know his travels.
Well, actually, he played golf on Sunday.
Okay.
On Sunday morning, the president played golf. And I think this is really an important story. That's why we kind of had a thought about what we might talk about, but then we preempted that because I wanted to address this because I think that we need to talk about some things that we need to talk about I mean, when those things pop up, I think one of the responsibilities of this radio ministry is engaging some of the things that people are struggling with or things that they're finding in their everyday lives. And what do we do about these things? So on Sunday morning, the president went and he played golf. And after he played golf in Virginia, he decided to stop by a church to be prayed for.
Yeah, I saw that Platt.
David Platt, who used to be the president of the Southern Baptist International Missions Board. He wrote a book, the name is going to escape me, but I can see the cover in my mind right now, but a best-selling book on missions, and he's very missionally minded, very minded about justice and on the ways we interact with the world. So literally, I mean, the way the story goes, he had about 3 minutes notice.
Right.
You know, the Secret Service came in and said, the president will be here, you know, in 2 minutes, and he wants to be prayed for.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I want to address the prayer, what happened out of it, what we need to understand. But I think we take a moment and listen to the prayer, because I think that it's...
He didn't hold back.
Yeah, you have
in
to have the
Jesus
context.
Jesus' name and the blood of Jesus. I was like, okay.
So I want to ask us to bow our heads together now and pray for our president. Oh, God, we praise you as the... one universal King over all. You are our leader and our Lord, and we worship you. There is one God and one Savior, and it's you, and your name is Jesus, and we exalt you, Jesus. And we know we need your mercy. We need your grace. We need your help. We need your wisdom in our country. And so we stand right now on behalf of our president, and we pray for your grace and your mercy and your wisdom upon him. God, we pray that he would know how much you love him, so much that you sent Jesus to die for his sins, our sins. So we pray that he would look to you, that he would trust in you, that he would lean on you, that he would govern and make decisions in ways that are good for justice and good for righteousness and good for equity, every good path. Lord, we pray that you would give him all the grace he needs to govern in ways that we just saw in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that lead to peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way. God, we pray for your blessing in that way upon his family. We pray that you give them strength. We pray that you give them clarity, wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Please, oh God, give him wisdom and help him to lead our country alongside other leaders. We pray today for leaders in Congress. We pray for leaders in courts. We pray for leaders at national and state levels. Please, oh God, help us to look to you. Help us to trust in your word. Help us to seek your wisdom and live in ways that reflect your love and your grace, your righteousness and your justice. We pray for your blessings on our president toward that end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's just say that if you were following this as it happened, post that prayer, the world went crazy on social media.
I know.
It went crazy. There were people who were not happy that he prayed for the president. There were people who were ecstatic. In fact, if you are a conservative and you're a supporter of the president, I played that, and you're probably in your house going, yeah, yeah. And if you are not a fan of what the president does and how he does it right now, you're going, I can't believe they played that. I can't believe that they're talking about this. And so we're in this moment in the history of our country where things are incredibly divisive, where we want to go to the left or we want to go to the right. And what's interesting is if we look at the Bible tells us that we don't go to the left and we don't go to the right, but we minister in the middle of all of the insanity and all of the chaos. I mean, it happened so much so that the pastor who prayed came back out and had some clarification for everybody in terms of what happened and how it happened, because there were people in his church who were deeply hurt, offended,
yeah,
didn't understand.
I read a little of that, and I was getting a little fired up thinking, gosh, he prayed, and we were called to pray for our leaders. And, well, anyways, he was like almost apologetic and had put disclaimers. And I was like, gosh. Anyways, yeah, I want to see where you're going to take us because we haven't talked about this at all.
Yeah, well, you know, and so here's the thing. It is incredibly polarizing. And so, again, like I said, if you're a fan of the president, you're cheering because, wow, you played that prayer. Wow, that's awesome and that's amazing. And if you're not, you're going, well, I can't believe they just prayed that. And if you just heard us say, and the pastor came out and clarified some things for his congregation, you're going, well, I can't believe he would clarify some things. And if you are not a fan of the president, you're going, well, I'm sure glad he clarified a few things. Mm-hmm. And we have this moment where we're not talking about what the Bible says, but instead we're trying to weigh how we feel about men. You know, the Bible has words to say about this. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the Lord our God. And so if we elevate chariots and horses above the Lord our God and what he says and what he commands us to do, the way we minister in the middle, we're going to get ourselves into trouble. We're going to get ourselves in trouble. The reason why I wanted to play the prayer instead of just saying many of you probably heard him pray is because you needed to hear the content of the prayer. Because for me to simply to say that he prayed, there'll be some of you out there who are suspect and say, well, I mean, yeah, but was it really a scriptural prayer? Was it a God-honoring prayer? I don't know if you heard. He quoted scripture in the prayer. He prayed not in a celebratory way for the president. In fact, he prayed that the president would have humility to listen to the Lord, that the Lord he would be guided by God's grace and his mercy, that he would come to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is in a powerful way. Now, I know some of you right now are going, no, President Trump already knows who Jesus is. That's not for us to say or not for us to know, but we take every opportunity to make sure that we do by praying that relationship. You know, David Platt prayed, you know, that there's nobody who loves Donald Trump more than Jesus. That's a truism. That's not a partisan statement. Jesus isn't going, well, I love him because I'm a conservative. Jesus isn't a conservative, nor is he a Democrat. Jesus is his own way. That's why Jesus keeps saying, but there's a third way, and that's the way that I take. I take a way that isn't defined by human politics or human wrangling or human anything. I have a different way that I go. And I wanted the content of the prayer to be out there because I think it's so powerful. Because he prays a highly evangelistic prayer. Mm-hmm. He prays a prayer saturated in truth and really elevating God and saying, God, please guide this man. And that's a prayer we should pray for all of us. Now, if you're cheering because he prayed for Donald Trump, would you cheer equally the same if he was praying for Barack Obama or somebody else whom you didn't like, whom you didn't care for? Because the Bible doesn't give us wiggle room. The Bible doesn't go, well, you know what, if your party's in office, then pray for them. The Bible actually says to pray for all in power. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting. In 1 Timothy, Paul's writing this letter to his disciple, to his protege, the person who he is raised up in the Lord and sent out to lead. And he says this, in beginning in verse 18 of chapter 1, he says, "This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you." That's he's saying, the things that the Lord spoke about you and to you, the things that the Lord spoke concerning you, that's what I'm writing about. And what was that? The godly leadership that Timothy was going to do. Paul is saying, I prayed a lot about what you're going to do, Timothy, and that's what I'm writing to you about. That by them you may wage good warfare. Now you're going, wait a second, what is good warfare? Good warfare, what does that mean? He says, good warfare is defined by holding faith and good conscience. By rejecting this, so he's saying, listen, good warfare, the kind of warfare that you as a Christian need to make, is the kind that comes from holding on to the faith and in good conscience doing anything. David Platt did not get up to pray for the president out of bad conscience. He didn't get up to pray for the president because partisan politics were more important than faith. He got up to pray for him by holding on to the faith in the same way that David Platt said, I would pray for any elected leader.
Right.
Any elected leader. And Paul, writing Timothy, says, by rejecting holding on to faith, by rejecting good consciousness, some have made a shipwreck of their faith. Listen, if the president showed up at my church and I got up and all I did was pray these glorious prayers about how good of a leader he is and how blessed we are to have him, I may as well have been the Israelites back in Samuel praying for Saul. Instead, David Platt's prayer elevated God to the position that God deserves to be in and asked the God who guides and governs all things to guide and govern the life of this man and through him to guide and govern our country. Didn't elevate the president to any place. He elevated God to the rightful place that he should be and asked God to work through a fallen man the same as we would pray for anybody. And then Paul goes on to say, among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander. By the way, he's got examples. He goes, if you need an example of somebody who shipwrecked their life by rejecting the faith and good conscience, I got two names for you. And he says, whom I handed over to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. So he says, listen, you know what I did is I had to let those brothers go, and Satan got a hold of them and wouldn't give them up. Then he says this. So that's important because that's context. He's writing and he says, I entrust. This is what I want you to do. Hold on to the faith and good conscience. And then he says, here's step one. First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. I don't care if you don't like who's in office. As a Christian, you do not get the opportunity to not make prayer and supplication, intercession and thanksgiving for all people. This is the call of the Bible. Listen, if you want something to change, then you ought to pray, because the only one who can ultimately change anybody is God. The only person who can change hearts through the shed blood of Christ is God. And that's why Paul says, first things first, Timothy, supplication, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving. Because by those things, only by those things, can the heart be changed. You want to know how to address a king, a wicked king, an immoral king, a king you don't like, a king who governs poorly? Pray for them. Pray for them. You know, it was a couple of years ago, my wife and I, we were having kind of a little bit of a... Oh, gosh, what do you want to call
jousting?
That? Jousting? Oh, yeah, not jousting. I would say robust dialogue, but it wasn't really. We were having a disagreement and something. And there was a number of days where I was kind of like, you know, just feeling like, oh, gosh, I maybe I'm wrong. No, I'm not wrong. Oh, maybe I'm wrong. No, I'm not wrong. Probably wrong. No, I'm not wrong. And then finally, I just one day just kind of looked at her and I said, oh, gosh, I'm wrong. I'm so sorry. And she smiled and I said, what's so funny? She said, oh, I sicked the Holy Spirit on you a few days ago, and he got you, didn't he? You know, and she's just joking. She really was just joking. Theologically, she doesn't believe that necessarily. But she began to pray and ask God's Spirit to convict my spirit. The Bible says that I would repent and that I would come from my position and move towards truth, and by moving towards truth, admit where I had kind of thought false things. That's what Paul is saying here. Paul's saying to Timothy, first of all, you want to know how to change the temperature? Supplication, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving to be made for all people. And why kings? Because it's not easy to be a king. You have a lot of people pulling on you to do all kinds of different things, good things, bad things, wicked things, immoral things, moral things, all kinds of things. Alistair Begg loves to say, the best of men are men at best. The president is a man at best. And the Bible defines that man is fallen and hopelessly in need of God. And David Platt's prayer for the president is, you are hopelessly in need of God, because you're a man just like him. And as he prays for him, he takes the president to the place where we all should take whoever it is we pray for, and that's to the throne room of God, and ask God to do something what only God can do. And he even says this. He goes out of this. He says, you make that prayer. Why do you make that prayer? That we may lead peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Why? Because this is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. What David Platt was really praying as he was praying for the president is that the president would be good and pleasing in the sight of God. That through the work of God that he would be pleasing. And listen, as divided as our country is, as divisive as this presidency has been for whatever reason, that's not a political statement. This presidency has been very divisive, as was the last one and the one before that. Wouldn't we want to pray then all the more for a peaceful and quiet life, one that is pleasing in the sight of God? And so listen, don't get excited because David Platt prayed for Donald Trump because you're a conservative and you love that he's in office. Thank God that a man of God stood up and prayed for our leaders in accordance to the scriptures, and that he elevated God to the position that we all should have God at, where he is king of all things, and that we are at best men and women. And that no matter who's in office, whether you agree, disagree, love, hate, whatever it is, that you would pray for them. And that you would do that first before you do anything else.
Yeah, what's that verse where we're called to pray for those in authority?
Comes right out of the mouth of Jesus when he says, pray for your enemies. And Paul says, pray for your leaders and the kings and pray for all of those.
That's a command.
It is a command. There's not a lot of wiggle room. In fact, Paul says to Timothy, it's the first thing. He goes, first thing, your ministry, it better be marked by prayer and the kinds of prayer that prays for all people, and especially those people in power. And so if we're overly excited that the president got prayed for, let's let that excitement carry us into praying for all of our leaders, and especially the ones whom we disagree with or have the most. Listen, if praying for somebody is difficult, then that means that you need to pray for them.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the proof in the pudding. Regardless of your political affiliation, are you praying for past presidents, future presidents, regardless of their party, and it's commanded?
Yeah, a friend of mine who we were talking about the left, right, and the middle recently, you know, and everybody's going to the left or everybody's going to the right, and we're called to minister in the middle. And yet this person who is a psychologist and a counselor, this person said the middle is the place where you have the greatest amount of uncertainty and anxiety. Because you're doing what you know you should do in the middle, but you don't know how it's going to turn out. On the right, you know how it's going to turn out because it's clearly defined, all the rules, everything. On the left, it's clearly defined, all the rules and everything else. But in the middle, there is a certain sense of, I'm not sure how it works.
Yeah.
And yet, in the middle is where Jesus ministered from, isn't it? He ministered in truth and love. He ministered in this place where he saw both sides as equally valid and equally in need of a Savior.
That's the title of today's program, Pray from the Middle. You can find it archived at greatnewsradio.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.